everyone, and welcome to Friends to the End. You're a one-stop shop for all things Friends as we run down the classic sitcom episode by episode. I'm Michael, and I've seen Friends over a thousand times.
And I'm Elizabeth, and I've never seen Friends.
And she is Nora Guntherella Central Perk McFluffin. How you doing, Nora?
Good.
Glad to hear it. Great to have you back with us. How, Elizabeth, is bloody motherhood treating you?
It's great.
Yeah, you enjoying it?
Yes, though it does take me away from my Friends Till the End podcast.
It has taken you away a wee bit. Twitter is furious with you, but you know,
I assume.
I'm here to kind of buffer all that Twitter negativity, so you don't really need to know about it. But generally, people are suggesting I get a new co-host. They're saying Maura would be a good replacement because they want someone who actually likes Ross on the show.
No, I know that's not true.
Yeah, well, I'm taking some auditions later this week. We'll see how it, you know. And look, if you can make the audition times, you can come in and read for your role, and we can keep this going. But I think you have to make some sort of commitment to the podcast.
This is bullshit.
No, not in front of the wee one.
Oh, sorry.
This is now a child-friendly fucking podcast.
Yeah.
Don't worry, everybody. I'm still drinking. At least one of us is still committed to this show. We just finished watching Season 6, Episode 22, the one where Paul's the man. Almost done with Season 6.
It's taken a while. Mm-hmm.
It's taking us all bloody year.
This is a good episode.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Love a bit of Bruce Willis in your life now.
I just thought this one was well-rounded.
Mm-hmm. He is the rounding. He's the one that's rounded off. He is the sandpaper that is buffed off those rough edges and smoothed out a great, coherent sitcom episode.
He is the nail file.
Now we can go back and watch more stuff that Bruce Willis has been in. Die Hard 2?
No.
Die Hard with a Vengeance?
No.
Unbreakable?
No.
The Fifth Element?
No.
Disney's The Kid?
I've seen it.
Look Who's Talking?
No.
Look Who's Talking To?
No.
I probably quite like Look Who's Talking.
I think you said that last time.
There was a time in my childhood, I've probably said this before, where like I had a VHS of Look Who's Talking, and we just taped it off the television, and I probably watched it like three or four times a week.
Oh my god.
I loved it. Loved that film.
So probably over a thousand times.
I don't know about that. I didn't maintain that pattern for like several years. It was a reasonably brief period in my life. But before we get to that, would you like a little Friends Would You Rather?
Absolutely.
This one is based very much on today's episode, the one where Paul's the man. And my question to you this week, Elizabeth, is, would you rather, before you get intimate with a companion, you have to sneak away and give yourself a little private pep talk?
Oh my god.
Or would you rather have to be forced to hide under a bed or furniture or a couch or something every time your significant other's parents are in the room?
Why would I have to do that?
Huh? Because it's the rules. It's the rules
of
this
would
you rather.
So would they know that I'm under there?
No, you're hiding.
And how long would the pep talk go for?
You know, you have to psych yourself up. You have to call yourself a neat gal. And, you know, you do have to sing a little rendition of Love Machine. So, you know, a good couple of minutes.
All right. That's it.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, fine. Okay. Today's episode, Season 6, Episode 22, the one where Paul's the man, first aired on May the 4th be with you, 2000.
Do you think anyone was making that joke in 2000?
I don't think they were, actually. Can you imagine a world where people hadn't like made that correlation? It was probably only like the diehard Star Wars fans that were doing that at that time.
Yeah, now it's just standard.
Ugh, I hate it. May the 4th be with you. I prefer Cinco de Mayo the next day. Much better.
What about Mother's Day?
When's that?
In May.
Okay. Yeah, well, you would know that. I mean, it doesn't matter to me. It's a different date in the UK than it is in the US anyway.
True.
Anyway, yeah, in the year 2000, let's all meet up in the year 2000, Mona Beast. Yeah, you know, people know the song by now. How many people do you think watched this episode? You
are losing, I know.
Yeah, you're losing. But, yeah, the last episode, 20.6 million. Where do you think we're at? Do you think the appearance of Bruce Willis has bumped the ratings up somewhat?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm going to say 21.1.
21.1. I'm going to go ambitious here because I don't feel like I've got anything to lose. I'm going to say 23 million.
Did you cheat?
No.
All right.
I didn't cheat.
You just sound so confident.
I was confident that I'm going to win overall. I'm not confident necessarily that I'm going to win this one, but I want to, you know, I'm playing with style at this point.
Okay.
So you said what,
21.1?
It's actually an even 20, so you take it. An even 20.
What?
All right, nicely played.
Needed that.
You did need that. You did need that. All right. Does that take you 1 point closer to catching me? You have 9, I have 11.
That's good. That's fine.
Yeah, 2 episodes to go. You know. We'll see how that works out for you. All right, this episode opens with Phoebe in Central Park. Do you remember any of this?
Yes.
Okay. She has tickets from a client to a museum exhibit. She's offering it to all her friends, basically. Her client was like, hey, take these tickets to this exhibit. And Chandler and Ross are like, no, Chandler and Joey are like, we're busy that day. And I think Ross is too. And then, so they're out. And Phoebe then reveals, do you remember what the exhibit was for?
Like lesbians and sandwiches or something?
It's a lesbian video game sandwich exhibit.
Was she just kidding?
No, I don't know. It didn't, because she didn't just say, oh, it's the lesbian video game. It's like, it's just going to be photos of like lesbian couples. I don't know. But, those guys sure shot themselves in the foot. That's what you get for being a dullard and not being open to intellectual experiences.
Exactly.
Ross arrives in Central Park and he reveals that he is going away with Elizabeth for the weekend. That's exciting for them. The gang make babysitting jokes. They're like, oh, you're going to make so much overtime going away for the weekend. Ross tries to like turn things around. He basically tries to pull a U in the last episode.
And yes.
It's like, hey, you guys should be making fun of Rachel for dating Paul.
Well, it's true. See, him and I were thinking the same. The writers probably realized that after the fact.
But the gang's having none of it. They're just like, yeah, it just seems worse. And it is worse. It's not a double standard. It's just...
What's worse, Ross dating Elizabeth?
Look, if Elizabeth was not a student of Ross's, it would probably be a little better. But there is something to be said. I don't know.
I mean, she's not anymore.
A 30-year-old dating a mid-40-year-old to a 30-year-old dating a 20-year-old? I don't know. I suppose not. But anyway, Ross tries to, like, make jokes about Paul being old, basically. And then, oh, God. Talk about bad luck, Ross. Bloody Paul comes into Central Park while he's making those jokes. That's rough.
Doesn't it always happen that way?
Talk about bad timing.
He just stands right behind him and hears the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. So Paul pulls him aside and he's like, hey, well, I was thinking that I was going to like respect Elizabeth's decision to date you. And Ross was like, oh, sweet. But then he was like, but then I changed my mind. And Ross tries to be Billy Big Boots. He's like, well, we're 2 grown-ups. There's nothing you can do about it. And Paul's just like, well, I'll call the university and have you fired. And Ross is like, ah, shit. So this is, we're very guilty of inventing new segments on this show and then forgetting about them. You've probably already forgotten from 2 episodes ago, Elizabeth, Michael's shiny button collection. Where,
oh, yeah.
I'm collecting, like, the funny little things that they say going into the episode. You had probably forgotten it. I know I had when I was taking my notes here. I can't really remember what he said, but Ross was just kind of like, oh, well, like, oh, I know what he said. He was like, ooh, man with a plan, because he had a plan. So that goes, that joins Michael's button collection alongside Thank God You're Pretty from three episodes ago. And you know what? I think I like this button slightly less than that button. So there we go. Two new addition, a new addition to Michael's button collection.
It's one of those fabric ones, but it's kind of worn. That's how I visualize it.
Okay. Thanks for visualizing my button collection.
You're welcome.
The episode opens. Joey is in a, what do you call them? Laundromats?
Yeah.
We call them a laundrette.
Okay.
He's in a laundrette. His photo's going up on the wall. He's very excited because it used to be up on the wall when he was on Days of Their Lives. And then it got taken down because he wasn't famous anymore. Is that... That's quite like a... Is that a common thing in laundromats especially? I know it's kind of a restaurant thing, right? Like your photo goes up on the wall if you're a famous patron.
Yeah, I mostly see it in restaurants. I don't think I've ever seen it in a laundromat.
No.
But I haven't been in enough to really... make a good point on that.
You'd think Gunther would sling up a photo of Joey behind the...
No, he hates Joey.
He doesn't hate him.
He does. He was useless to him.
Wow. I don't think a pure-hearted soul like Gunther is capable of hate.
No, he's sassy.
Yeah, he's sassy. But hatred? Oh, he hates Ross, I suppose.
Yeah, see?
All right, well, maybe. The owner doesn't know him. He's just like, oh... I don't know who you are. I don't know why I should put your photo up. And he's like, I'm going to be on a show. I'm going to be on Mac and Cheese. Did you remember Mac and Cheese?
Yeah, the robot.
Mac and Cheese. You love Mac and Cheese.
I do.
The show and the food. The guy wants like to see the tape, and then he'll put his photo on the wall. We then cut to the girls. They're on their girls' night out at this museum. And it's revealed... that they're, well, they stumble across a staff member giving a wedding tour of the museum. Getting married in a museum?
It's a cool idea.
Is it?
Yeah.
Cool.
I mean, the architecture is usually really beautiful, and they're usually older and large ceilings. I mean, yeah, it's cool.
I don't want to brag. You know, I've got some... insider knowledge on this. I've given a couple of wedding tours in my day, and like this woman, you know, my place of work is not your typical wedding venue, but more and more so in recent days, we've been given weddings at my work, so I've had to give a couple of wedding tours. So yeah, it may be a weird flex, but yeah, I've given a couple of wedding tours in my time.
Wow, Michael, I'm so impressed. Oh my god.
Monica loves the idea of getting married there, but she has, like, some of her own suggestions. She's like, oh, I wouldn't put the thing here, and I wouldn't stand here for that. And then we get introduction. Every now and again, this show, like, pulls up a character that's only in it, only has, like, a couple of lines of dialogue, but they make a real impact. I think the last one for me was, like, the what was he? He was, like, a sassy security guard.
Yes.
Who kind of just, the swaggering security guard in Vegas, who just kind of sort of came on with, like, a real... swagger in his step.
You loved him.
Well, now we have snooty tour guide from the museum, because she just kind of, she hears like Monica bad-mouthing like where they do things, and she's just sort of like, may I help you? And you're just like, that's great. And then, oh, Monica's like, oh, this place is great, I'd love to get married here. And the, like, again, she follows up, putting her in her place. Oh, we have a 2-year waiting list. So take that, Monica.
That's crazy.
A 2-year waiting list?
Well, no, it's typical for some places.
For some places, but I guess a museum, you could get married there year-round.
Oh, that's true.
So it's not like the window is so short as like in like other locations.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Thank you. Well, you know, I've done a couple of wedding tours in my day. I know a thing or two about this.
Oh my god.
The gals convince Monica to put her name down anyway. It's like, you think it's beautiful. It's a 2-year wait list. What you got to lose? You're not gonna, you know, you're not engaged, but you, you know, you'll have the venue if you ever need it.
Yeah, it's not a bad idea. I mean, they're really serious.
You would
serious.
Say that. You're a real wedding crazy lady. Oh, God, I don't know. That's so lame. Oh,
God, that was so bad. Shut I hope up. You don't edit that out.
I'm not gonna. It'll be in.
No, I think like she's in a committed relationship. They know that they're probably going to end up together. I know it because it was a spoiler to me.
Does Chandler know it?
Somewhere in his mind. Oh, Little baby sounds.
Finally, some contribution from our third host.
What do you think, Nora?
She thinks Chandler's not gonna like this. And I agree, Nora. But you don't think it's like a crazy idea to reserve a venue even though you're not engaged?
It's not that she's single.
Right.
So no, I mean,
it's not Liz Lemon buying a wedding dress and like
not even having a boyfriend or something. Yeah, honestly, you could always just take your name off the list.
At some point, you're gonna have to pay a deposit.
Yeah, but if with a 2-year wait, I mean, they probably wouldn't contact you for like until a year. I mean, she could have even put down a deposit for all we know.
Yeah, would you not have to put down a deposit even just to like save a date or put your name down? Elsewhere, Joey has got a copy of the TV show, and he's given it to the manager of the laundrette in an attempt to get back up on the wall. The guy has watched the tape, which raises the question, what is this guy doing? Why is this guy, like, indulging Joey by watching a tape of a show that hasn't been on TV? Why wouldn't he just be like, alright, well, let's just wait and see how this TV show goes, and if you become successful, you can go back up on the wall. But why is he watching the tape?
He takes it very seriously.
Who goes on the wall? I guess so.
Maybe he wants to give him the benefit of the doubt.
He doesn't seem like the type of guy that wants to give anyone the benefit of the doubt. He seems quite surly, not very happy. But anyway, he watched it. Good for him. Giving Joey more time of day than I would. He didn't like it. He didn't like mac and cheese. I find that very hard to believe.
Very hard to believe. I'm shocked.
Seems like a great show. But he said it was offensive to Russians, and he is a Russian, because the Russians are, like, the bad guys.
Like, in Rocky and Bullwinkle?
I don't think they're Russian. Aren't they from some made-up country?
Oh, I thought they were Russian.
I mean, we don't have it in
Natasha
in Scotland,
and
so I don't
Boris?
Know. Yeah, that's a stereotype, but I think it's a made-up country they're from.
I don't know.
Neither do I. And I'll go one further. I don't care.
Well, what about all of our Russian listeners?
They don't care about Rocky and Bullwinkle either.
I beg to differ. I bet someone out there in Russia that listens to this podcast cares about Rocky and Bullwinkle.
Well, we'll put it to Twitter, but I'm not confident we're going to hear anything back. Joey makes the argument, oh, well, you've got Harrison Ford up there in his movies. And he beats up Russians in Air Force One. And the guy's like, well, Harrison Ford is a great customer. You don't bring anything. So Joey's like, oh. Need to become a better customer. Ross is on a trip with Elizabeth. He has not heeded Paul's words of getting him fired. He's just like, fuck it. We had the trip planned. May as well just go for it. It's only my job.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Don't think he's being a bit cavalier?
I don't think he thinks he's being serious.
Really?
Like, how could he get him fired? They started dating after he was her teacher, right?
Known prankster, Paul. You think he's just a classic wind-up merchant? He could get him fired. Yeah, he's not allowed to date a student.
A student or his student?
A student.
But what if he had met her somewhere out at a coffee shop, right? And then...
Yeah. You're not allowed.
They started dating, and
date
then he
else.
Finds out.
Just date someone else. Literally date anyone else.
It's not that easy. It's not easy for people to just find someone that they like and that likes them back.
Well, Ross doesn't seem to have any trouble, Mr. Married 3 times.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, yeah.
What shade you throw at him?
Well, I'm just saying, it's just like, he's got a cushy job, he landed on his feet. He's, by all accounts, not a very good lecturer or professor.
You don't know that.
Well, he had to fake an accent.
Why are you being so mean?
I'm just trying to be real. I'm not trying to be mean. I want him to keep his job.
What would Morris say?
This is just like for some roll in the hay with some floozy. Just...
Wow, Michael.
Nah, I quite like Elizabeth, actually. She's all right. Anyway, they've ignored it. You commented that Ross was wearing weird pants in this scene. Do you recall?
No, not Ross. Elizabeth. For just like the first time we see her in this scene, and then it changes.
It's she changes her pants?
No. It's like the button and zipper are undone and folded down.
Ooh.
And then when you see it later, it's not like that.
Oh, I completely missed that.
It was really weird.
It's very strange. They start fooling around on the couch. Ross forgot to bring condoms. So Elizabeth goes to the local store. They're staying, it's worth saying, like, in a cabin, which I believe Paul owns.
Yeah.
It's like the family vacation cabin, basically.
Yeah.
In, did we find out where? Is it Maine? Feels like it would be in Maine. Maybe just upstate New York? Perhaps the Finger Lakes?
God, that's so specific.
I know, Ross wants to swim in the Finger Lakes.
Oh my, get out of here.
I feel like this.
Not in front of Nora.
Oh, God. Anyway, so she goes off to get some Johnnies, and Ross begins to undress. It's just like, Ross, she's going to be a while, mate. Maybe you just leave your clothes on for when she gets back. But while he is undressing, he hears from the other room Paul and Rachel arriving. Oh, my God. How awkward.
Like father, like daughter.
Talk about Aki Momos. So he hides because Rachel's there for a romantic tryst with Bruce Willis.
I actually didn't realize it was them until you actually see them. Because it sounded like a real estate agent.
Oh, really?
That's what I heard.
Well, you hear earlier in the episode, Rachel's like, oh, I'm meeting Paul. He's got a big surprise for me. And this is the big surprise.
How fun.
Do you think he bundled her into a car and blindfolded her and drove her all the way there? And then was like, surprise!
No, because it's not like a place that has significance to her or is really great. It's just his cabin.
So it's like, surprise, I'm taking you to this.
We could have gone to a hotel.
I guess. Chandler is trying to amuse himself. He hasn't gotten off a lot to do this episode. He's at home. Phone rings. He decides not to answer it, so it's a answering machine message. You're probably too young to remember answering machine messages, but they were basically like a tape recorder that would beep when someone called your house, because people used to have landlines, which is like having a mobile phone but like stuck to your wall. So he's just sitting there and he lets it go to the machine, and oh mate, it's a message from the museum for Monica. And it's like a weirdly specific message. It's like, this is Mandy calling from the wedding chapel in the museum. I'm calling for Monica's reservation to Chandler Bing on May the blah, 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 blah. But they've had a cancellation and the date could be moved up. It's like, oh, Chandler. Chandler heard that very specific message and he, true to form, freaks out.
Would you?
I wouldn't freak out, like, because I'm not like terrified by that sort of thing, but I would just be like, what the fuck are you doing? But I would also be like, I'm sure there's a fairly logical explanation.
But is that like a big turnoff?
I mean, if you're living with someone and you've been going out for almost 2 years, it's not that bad. Like, if it'd been 6 weeks, then you're like, what the fuck? But
yeah.
Yeah, no, I don't think it's that bad, to be honest. It's bad for Chandler, though.
Indeed.
Rachel is admiring the cabin. It's just kind of a house, actually. It's not even a cabin. It's just like a house in the in a nice wilderness part of the country,
I guess. Yeah, I guess so.
And she discovers Ross, and she's shocked to see him there. She decides to hide him, and oh, look at that. We've stumbled on some classic farce. Hooray!
I like a good farce.
Oh, no one enjoys a classic farce more than I. So basically, she's trying to hide Ross from Paul. So she's like trying to distract Paul. She's like, oh, go and get me something from the kitchen. And like tries to hide him. And then they're like sitting and she's like, I'm going to distract him and you can sneak out. But as she's like canoodling with him, Elizabeth comes back in and she's like, here I am. She like announces herself basically. And they're like, oh, what are you doing here? And then we have like Rachel trying to like let Elizabeth know that she knows that Ross is there.
She's like trying to cover for her.
Yeah, because Elizabeth, she freezes basically. She's like, I don't know what I'm doing here. And Rachel's like, don't you have that paper to work on? And it's like, all right, fine, whatever. But it's revealed that Ross is hiding in Paul's bedroom. Oh boy, we're going to have to check back on that later. Chandler's freaking out. Monica comes home. Chandler storms off. Monica's like, God, what's up with him? And then she like hears the voicemail message. And she's like, oh, no, maybe he didn't hear it. And then like you hear Chandler answering the answering machine message. So she's like, no.
Yeah, it's kind of embarrassing.
Yep. Joey goes to drop off some clothes to become a better customer at the laundrette. The owner isn't there, but there is a lady working behind the counter, and she's like, you know, there's more people that decide who goes on the wall. And Joey's like, oh, okay. So there's something going on there between those two. Rachel tries to distract Paul. She's like doing this thing where like she's trying to send him outside. She's going to go upstairs with Elizabeth, and then that's clearing the way for Ross to sneak out. But she's like yelling it so that Ross hears the plans. She's like, so you're going to go outside and I'm going to go upstairs. So yeah, that's funny, I guess.
I mean, she's doing a really good job, like the best that she can.
Yeah, but she's like, she's adding an extra step though as well, because she's like, oh, Elizabeth, you need to show me something upstairs. It's like, well, no, you don't have to get yourself or Elizabeth out of the way. Like, they both know Ross is there, so it's not like they have to hide so that Ross will, like, sneak out. It's, they just need to get rid of...
Rachel should have taken Paul and gone somewhere.
She should have been like, I'm gonna, let's go for a romantic walk in the woods or something.
Or like, hey, I haven't seen the upstairs.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like, I don't know why she's trying to distract herself. She's trying to clear the coast too much, basically.
Yeah.
But whatever. So she goes upstairs with Elizabeth. Paul goes to like go to the car, but instead he goes into his room. Ross is like hiding under a bed or some shit. And Paul like goes to the mirror in his room and gives himself a little pep talk. He's like, oh God, it's okay. She likes you. She likes you. And he's like admiring his body. And then he's like, oh, you're a neat guy. You're a swell guy. And then he starts singing Love Machine, because he is just a love machine.
You wouldn't expect a guy like Bruce Willis to have to give himself a pep talk.
Wow, yes, it's definitely, you wouldn't expect, but it just goes to show, you know, even the most self-assured amongst us are maybe insecure on the inside. It's all about outward projection. You never know what's going on. What did you think of this scene? Because Bruce Willis is not particularly known for his comedic chops. There's definitely comedic elements to Die Hard, but certainly more in recent years he's been known to maybe take himself a little bit too seriously. Did you enjoy this little comedic flourish from him?
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't laughing out loud, but it was kind of out of character and I thought it was funny.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I liked watching you watch it because you were smiling along.
Was I? Yeah. I don't know. I like it. I mean, I'm a big Bruce Willis fan, and this is like Bruce Willis, maybe not quite at his peak, but this is like him maybe at the height of his stardom. And yeah, it's good. Like, I like him in the show. He like plays off Ross very well because he's like very straight-faced. He's a good straight man for Ross being a bit bumbling and wacky. And then, you know, you get to see him being a bit of a silly Billy.
We're all like that behind closed doors, right? We all have our insecurities and our weird things we do.
Not me. So obviously he's doing that, this outrageous pep talk in the mirror, singing Love Machine, and Ross sees the whole thing. Elsewhere, Monica is telling Phoebe about what happened, and Monica's like, how bad is this? And Phoebe's like, well, if it was a normal person, it would be bad, but because it's Chandler, it's a fucking disaster. So yeah, tough break. Joey goes to look at his photo. His photo is up on the wall of the laundrette, but maybe
she did it.
Yes, I guess he did it as well. All of his efforts paid off, but maybe not quite in the way he wanted, because somebody's written in big red marker "son of a bitch" on his picture.
That's a weird thing to write on someone's picture.
Is it?
Yeah.
Well, he is a bit of a son of a bitch. The laundry guy is furious, and he's like, he went out with my wife. And Joey's like, I didn't go out with your wife, I went out with her. And he's like, that's my wife. And you're like, oh boy.
That's not Joey's fault. That's the woman like seduced him, and she didn't say, oh, I'm married to him.
Yeah. It is pretty brutal that she's just like picking up guys at the business they own together.
Yeah, it's not his fault.
Also, very, like, they don't want to paint Joey too much of a bad guy. It's not like he slept with my wife. It's he went out with my wife. It's like, come on, Joey's not going out with a girl if he's not getting some sweet, sweet loving at the end of it. Wouldn't you agree?
I suppose.
Elizabeth goes looking for Ross. She finds him. He was like hiding in a like cupboard or like in a little like bedside cabinet, basically. He's kind of all smooshed up in there. She gets him out and she's like, come on, let's go. He's gone. So she's like bundling him out the window, basically, when Paul walks in and catches them.
Now, this was a perfect opportunity for him to appear as if he was just sneaking in.
Well, it doesn't matter. What difference does it make?
And not that he's been there the whole time.
But what difference does it make? His issue isn't that, like, it's not the amount of time that he's been here that's the problem. It's the fact that he's there at all. Like, he tries to play it off like, oh, this is why we can't see each other anymore. But Paul's not buying that. He's a smart guy.
Yeah, okay.
So, I mean, yes, but it doesn't matter. So Paul is like, oh, I'm going to have you fired. We're not going to talk about this anymore. And Ross is just like, all right, you can have me fired, which is a shame because he, too, is a neat guy. And everyone's like, whoa, he's through, because that's what Paul said in the mirror. And Paul's just like, what are you talking about? And he's like, and I too am a love machine. And he does like the poses. And you get like a little shot of Elizabeth and Rachel kind of just like looking at each other, being like, what's he talking about? They're just kind of like, this is strange. And then you have like Paul looking at him, and he's just like, Ross. And he like stares at him for a minute, and Ross is just saying, like, he's like, oh no. And he's like, then he relents. He's like, let me show you where the guest room is.
Yeah, it's embarrassing. Yeah. Good thing he was there.
He doesn't want to be seen to be a big wimpy man in front of Rachel.
Of course not.
I guess it worked. It's not the best leverage in the world, like job versus seeing embarrassing things in a mirror, but...
It worked. That's all that matters.
It worked, yeah. Chandler comes home. Monica, like, profusely apologizes to him. Does she owe him an apology?
That's a hard one. Maybe. Maybe for not discussing it or jumping the gun.
But also, when you've been dating for 2 years and, like, you're living together, surely the thought... You'd be a little upset if, like, the thought of marriage would cause you, like, freak out and disappear for a day. Yeah. Like, that's not... it is Chandler. I guess you know what you're getting.
I guess more just that I didn't consult with you on it. Yeah. I thought it was a good opportunity. I didn't really want to pass it up just in case.
Yeah.
And, you know, she's probably pretty embarrassed.
Mm. So, she explains it, much like what you just said. He's fine with it. They're like, okay, it's okay. So then Monica's like, all right, I'm going to go tell Joey because he was worried about you. So she leaves. Phoebe appears from somewhere. She's like hiding in one of the bedrooms. Is she still living with them?
Great question. I don't know.
I think she is, right? Rachel's living with Joey still. So yeah, Phoebe would still be living with them. God, we forget the things we forget. There'll be another case of that in a minute. She's like, oh, so did you go see the place? And Chandler's like, yeah, it's really beautiful. And the audience freak out because they're like, oh my God. And then she's like, you're going to ask Monica to marry you. He's like, yeah. And they like hug and it's like a big moment. It's a big moment, Elizabeth.
Oh.
Stop cleaning your glasses. It's a big moment.
It was a very big moment. But it doesn't surprise me.
Is the moment somewhat undercut by the fact that we've already had an episode where he proposed to her and then, like, he took it back?
Yes.
And they almost got married in Vegas. Like,
yep.
They've hinted at it a couple of times already. So maybe this, like, do you think this is the moment? Or do you think this is another fake out?
No, I think this is probably it.
This is probably it.
Yeah.
But it's kind of undercut by the fake outs.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. So, wow. Got 2 episodes left into the season. I hope nothing gets in the way of this perfect proposal that Chandler's planning. Right?
Are you implying that something's going to get in the way?
I'm tapping the side of my nose and I kind of mums the word.
Oh, kind of, right? Boy.
And the episode ends, we get a fun little wrap-up with Joey going into Central Perk, and he goes up to the counter and he goes to talk to Gunther. And Gunther's just like, hey, Joey, take this tray of coffees to that table over there. Had you forgotten that Joey was working in Central Perk?
I kind of did until he said that, yeah.
Yeah, and Joey's like, oh, I don't work here anymore, I quit. And Gunther... No, in fact, Gunther goes, do you still work here? And Joey was like, oh, no, I quit a while ago, did I not tell you? And Gunther was like, oh, I was going to fire you anyway. But we never saw him quit, and we never saw him getting fired, because I guess they both just forgot. But it's quite funny, because we haven't seen Joey work there in about 5 or 6 episodes. And, yeah, like, the show forgot about it, and this is them kind of acknowledging that they forgot about it.
Yeah.
It's quite good. Mm-hmm. And you'd clearly forgotten about it as well.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Of course.
And that was the one where Paul's the man. Good episode?
I really liked this episode.
It was good, eh?
Yeah, a lot. I liked it a lot.
Bruce Willis, man. He's earning his money. You know, despite my reservations about having Bruce Willis in the Friends universe as a whole when Die Hard is a thing... he is really good.
I want to give this episode an 8.
An 8?
Mm-hmm.
8 out of 10.
I really liked it.
Okay. That's a fair score, I think.
Yeah?
I think an 8, yeah. You know, there's big... I mean, I think the Ross and Paul interactions are the best parts of it. There's a bit of farce sneaking around, but then you've also got the Chandler-Monica storyline, which is a bit stupid, but has massive implications for what's to happen in the future with those two.
Right.
Mm. Mm-hmm. All right, 8 out of 10, rolling into the end of season 6. Will we ever get there? We'll just have to wait and see. All right, stay tuned for the answer to Elizabeth's Friends Would You Rather in just a moment, but first of all, thank you all so much for listening to another episode of Friends Till the End with Michael and Elizabeth. We thank you for your support over the last couple of months. We know we've been pretty inconsistent and it's been a bit on and off, but we really appreciate everybody sticking with us throughout this time. We're going to get through this and hopefully get a little bit more consistent as we go into season 7. And we wrap up season 6. The best place to get in touch with the show is over on Twitter at FriendsPod. You can join in the fun and games there. We are on Instagram where we post show notes and funny little observations. You can check us out at friendstotheend.podomatic.net, which is our website with all of our old episodes. And if you want to help support the show, head on over to iTunes or wherever you get podcasts and leave a friendly rating and review. We need those ratings and reviews to keep food in Elizabeth's baby's belly. So you... Exactly. If you're going to do it for no one else, do it for little Nora Guntherella. All right, Elizabeth, bring us on home. Would you rather, every time that you're going to get intimate with a partner, sneak away and give yourself a little pep talk in the mirror for a couple of minutes, or every time your significant other's partner, parents are in the room, you have to hide under a bed or furniture or in a cupboard or something?
Well, I think this one was kind of simple, because if every time my partner's parents were over... I had to hide. I feel mm-hmm. like their relationship would just be a disaster. And I feel like they would find me very, very odd.
Well, it depends how good a job you do of hiding. They might never know you're there.
But I would just never be around, ever. And wouldn't they be like, where is she? Why can't she make the time to...
For some people, they might take that as a positive. But anyway, you're going with the pep talk in the mirror.
Yeah, it's not that bad. I mean, you can just be like, oh, I need to... freshen up, or I need to go to the restaurant. Like, you know, you could just make an excuse. It wouldn't be a big deal.
That's almost like a version of self-care, you know, just giving yourself a little pep talk every day, telling you how great you are. I dare say we could all benefit from that.
I think so.
Yeah, so maybe there's a lesson we could learn from Paul there.
What do you think?
Oh, it's not for me to decide. I'll go hide. I like sneaking under beds. That sounds all right.
All right.
Okay, well, from myself and from Elizabeth and from... the chatty little Nora Guntherella, Central Perk. We will say goodbye and see you next time.
See you later.